141 951 1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. No one is giving up on the title race on my watch, says Steven Gerrard, as Rangers prepare to host Livingston. Neil Lennon's focusing on Celtic stretching their lead when they head to Aberdeen on Sunday. And Dundee United's charge towards the top flight continues at Alloa tonight. I'm Gordon Duncan, and on this most romantic of evenings, there is no pair I would rather be stuck with than Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans.
At the start of the season, if you had offered any Celtic fan a 10-point lead and a goal difference that could amount to another point with 12 games left to play in the Championship, they would have said, that'll do nicely. At the same time, if you had told any Rangers fan they'd be facing that deficit and playing badly into the bargain, they'd have felt under pressure. So for me, Celtic have got 9 in a row in the bag. And we have to understand they're in pole position because of remarkable post-winter break stats. 6 wins out of 6, 22 goals for, only 3 goals lost. This is a lead at the top which has been gained by Celtic's merit and not created by default because of events elsewhere.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to a busy night, Gordon, after Wednesday's results. Plus we'll be profiling the upcoming games this weekend, so plenty to discuss.
How big was Wednesday, Alex? Because yeah, they're all big. I say it every week, but I mean, how big? What are we talking? Decisive? How much hope is left for Rangers? How damaging was it?
Oh, yeah, I think there's always hope, Gordon. You know, they have to play Celtic twice. There's no doubt about it. It's a body blow. I was at the game. I was covering it. And the manner in which they collapsed in the second half was alarming. But not surprising, really, when you consider, you know, the way they've come back, as you touched upon. The winter break has been horrendous for them. They have not hit any form and they've stuttered and stammered. Steven Gerrard's come out today rolling up the sleeves, saying they're not giving up the ghost. However, it's going to be very difficult. You have to say that Celtic have the upper hand at the moment by a considerable distance.
Yeah, it's that combination that you speak of, Hugh, where it's going, it's the perfect combination for Celtic. It's the worst combination for Rangers. Not only the Rangers not look anything like they were, Celtic have really stepped it up a gear as well. So, you know, for all the criticism Rangers will get, you give the same amount, really, of credit to Celtic.
Yeah, of course. Celtic's 6 league games since we came back after the winter break. Win-win, win-win, win-win. Rangers, win-lose, win-draw, win-lose. There's the difference.
Consistency.
And you have to be consistent, Alec. When Hadji scored the goal for Rangers that beat Hibs, I said on here, what an important goal, because had that not gone in and had the game been drawn, there would have been a 9-point gap between Celtic and Rangers, and I believe that would have ended Rangers' title
hopes. You make a very good point there, Gordon, in terms of the consistency by Celtic. You know, the post-winter break has been remarkable. I think they're 10 points ahead of where they were last year, and they really are putting the foot on the floor and putting the pressure on Rangers.
0141 951 1025. That's the number you need to get in touch tonight. And if you want to tweet us, we'd love to have you there as well, at Clyde SSB. You don't get long to feel sorry for yourselves in this game. It's back to action for Rangers tomorrow at home to Livingston. So Rangers fans, what next? Where do you go from here? How much hope is there left in the title race? And would you do anything different tomorrow? Something has to change for the form to improve. What would you do? Would you bring in different people? Would you play different style? Whatever it may be, give us your thoughts. 0141 951 1025, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. Steven Gerrard says he doesn't regret calling out his players after they fell 10 points behind. He did question the mentality on Wednesday. We played it last night. He says if needed, he would do it again.
I don't want to get in a situation where people don't believe me or it's not authentic. So at the time, how I felt, I felt like we'd really let ourselves down. And I took responsibility for the group's performance on the night. So I have no regret in terms of what I've said. We've played ourselves into this position, not just on that night, you know, since we've come back. And I also have to speak to a fan base that's worldwide, and I think they'd want me to be honest and pointed, as you said, and authentic in the way I speak. So I don't want to sit here and change my ways. These players have had an incredible amount of praise, protection,
from me since day one. That'll continue. But if I see things that I don't feel is right in terms of where we're at that moment, good, bad or indifferent, I'll always speak the truth.
Candid as ever, yeah, perfect assessment. He wants to be authentic, to use his word. Since the return from the winter break in Dubai, Stephen Gerrard has referred to Rangers as boring him, of having blinked against Hearts big time, he said, and he lacerated their performance at Kilmarnock in midweek. Now it's down to the players. You know, there's no point in saying any more. If you're Stephen Gerrard, what other fresh insult do you want to come up with? It's entirely about players now.
What about those, Alex, that say that's the wrong approach? And if you're looking for a result from these, the same group of players, ultimately, you have to adopt a more gentle approach.
Yeah, listen, I think when I said that Stephen Gerrard came in the door, I thought he would raise standards, Gordon. I actually like the fact that he calls people out. He's actually including himself and his staff in this as well. So it's not just a case of going, the players are culpable for all this. He includes himself, he signs them. The pressure will come on upon him as well if the results continue in the manner in which they are at the moment. And I quite like it. And the reason being is, when you're at Rangers, if he had sugar-coated this after the game and tried to mollycoddle people, going, he's not hard enough, he needs to get on the back. For me, I think it's the right approach. And he's right in what he says. Up until the transfer window opening in January 1st, he was heaping praise on his players, overjoyed performances, so forth, saying how players were playing at the top form. They're now playing pretty poorly, struggling, and he has to call out also.
01419511025. That's the number Tom in Cumbernauld has dialed tonight. How are you feeling, Tom? The immediate sort of disappointment of the game is past. How do you assess where Rangers are at the moment?
First of all, good evening, Gordon. Good evening, Hugh. Good evening, Alex.
Hi, Tom.
After the night, I was bitterly disappointed. And after, I don't know what's happened to Rangers after the winter break, because they were performing really well, scoring a few goals. I think Gerrard's right about mentality. But my question is about Saturday. Do the two of you think that he should go change the formation and play with the two up front, go with Cumbery and go with Morelos? Because they need to get confidence back somehow. And I think tomorrow's going to be a really hard game. And they need to get back in track. And I think the title is gone, but he really needs to win a trophy. And if it's a Scottish Cup, albeit I know it's disappointing if they can't win the league. But another question to the three of you is, if they doesn't win the league this season, I'm going to ask the two of you, if they come out on the spot, do you think they should get rid of Gerrard? Personally, I think they should keep him, because I think he's made great strides with them to the Europa League. And compared to the draws that I watched when Cassini was in charge and Murty was in charge, it's I think he's very given time.
Yeah, let's split that up a bit then. Let's do the immediate future, which is tomorrow, yeah. Alex. Are Rangers now at a stage where you have to change something? I mean, granted, the players by and large were the ones who got them in a good position up to December, but would you expect any drastic changes tomorrow?
Gordon, Tom makes a good point. He makes a good point. I think when you look at over the course of the time that Stephen's been there, it's been a 4-3-3. He hasn't really altered from that kind of particular system. I said a few weeks ago that because Tavernier wasn't playing, now Barisic is struggling fitness-wise. So I was thinking to myself, where do you get the width if you're not getting it for your fullbacks? It may well be in a case of the two wider guys who playing more as out-and-out wingers, Gordon, getting the ball, driving at people, trying to get down the line and get that natural width. But what's happening is the exact same thing, as they're all coming in narrow. And I think this is what I think you have to give credit to opposition as well. What they've actually realised is, when you defend narrow against Rangers, concede the wider areas, it becomes more and more difficult for them to break down. They don't have the answers and the solution posed to break you.
To what extent, Alec, do you look at Goldson, Katic, and Tavernier, whoever, and lay some blame at the door of the defence? Because you've got a Hearts team under Daniel Stendel who've won one league match out of 10. It was against Rangers. They scored two goals against Rangers. You've got a Kilmarnock team who were 13 minutes away from losing 1-0, but still managed to get two goals against Rangers.
Yeah, well, listen, I think we're in agreement that the first goal shouldn't have stood to you. So you don't say that that's a defensive error by any of that back line.
Well, Steven Gerrard thinks so.
Yeah.
Well, listen.
Which is interesting.
Well, let me ask you a question then. Do you think it was a handball?
No, no. He's separating that though. Even notwithstanding the fact that of course it was a handball, Steven Gerrard still wanted his defenders to do something better. So all I'm saying to you is the fact that it shouldn't have stood doesn't necessarily clear the defence of blame. Those are separate things.
The exact words that Steven Gerrard used after the game in his interview was, "I'd be clutching at straws if I mentioned handball."
And by the way, you look at the rules, even though Steven Gerrard says that it was a handball, I don't really know how you could say it wasn't. But
he's looking for better off his defence.
Still, it's not as if when the defenders are going to try and challenge the ball, they say, "Oh well, he's going to handball it, so you know, I do something differently
here." They could potentially have been better communication. The three of them went for the same ball, but you know, how can you take, say, the defensive as well as that? Because they've competed with it, resulting in the player actually handling the ball.
Well, like I say, don't take my word for it. Take Steven Gerrard's word for it.
Absolutely. For me, I actually think Steven was trying to pass the buck on it with the emotion. I actually think if it was others, managers, they would have been out screaming rather than pass the buck on to his players. And
what about the second goal then? Because the defence clearly didn't cover
shambles,
themselves in
absolute
glory.
Absolute schoolboy. And it's interesting because I was covering it, Hugh. I was looking at the monitor talking about the previous goal, and then all of a sudden the keeper. Now, see, to give it context, see if it's open play and you're trying to adjust to a long ball. The fact of the matter is the goalkeeper's got a goal kick. You adjust it, you get your midfielder in front, which they didn't do at that time, to compete with Kabamba, and they allow him to flick it on. Golson's turned the wrong way as well. Uh-huh. And for me, it was nothing short of the schoolboy. It was embarrassing. And to lose in the manner, and you're right, Hugh, so see, to pick them up on that point, it was diabolical defending. And the problem you have is, Gordon, he's at sixes and sevens now. Who is his preferred centre half? Because he went from Katic to Edmondson and now back to Katic.
So he must, there's a tremendous pressure on Rangers tomorrow against Livingston. Of course there is. Remarkably though, in the last 2 years, Livingston have played 29 games on grass. We all know that they've got one of these horrible pitches, but they've played 29 games on grass. They've won 3. So I don't think that they're entitled to look at Ibrox tomorrow with a great degree of confidence.
You've obviously read the same tweet that keeps getting sent to me by someone called Greg Browning, who's done the research, and people are sending me it right now in the context. So,
but to look at the other side of the coin, they could be awkward. It depends on the Rangers players' mentality, because there will be an unforgiving crowd at Ibrox tomorrow. Rangers will need to hit the ground running.
Quite keen to get Tom's other point answered as well, just before we have to move on.
Sorry, see, just before we move on, see, going back to that Livingston game, if my memory serves me right, I think Livingston done very well. Do you
held
remember?
Out for, yeah.
Yeah, they were doing very well and did not miss a very good chance.
I think so.
Just before half time, and then Rangers scored.
Like I say, just in the interest of getting Tom your second point answered, what about this bigger picture, Hugh? Tom mentions the Scottish Cup. Yeah. He mentions the possibility Steven Gerrard ends up trophyless and the consequences.
Steven Gerrard, in the clip that you played earlier, Gordon, spoke about the global audience that Rangers have. The global audience definitely want the title above all else. If Celtic get 9 in a row, and I think they will, then Rangers, who have been without a trophy for almost a decade now, if the Scottish Cup was to be theirs, that would be at least something. The bigger picture is, if Celtic get the title, then Rangers board have a question to face. Steven Gerrard couldn't stop 8 in a row, couldn't stop 9 in a row. Can it be third time lucky, or do you look elsewhere?
Well, Steven Gerrard says there is still plenty of time for him to challenge Celtic for the title. He's looking forward to the chance to narrow the gap tomorrow for a few hours at least.
I'd like to think I know them well enough as people. I know they'll have very similar feelings to myself. And you know, under my watch, no one will be giving anything up, conceding anything. We will continue to fight. We've played ourselves into a fantastic position in the first half of the season. But over the last 3-4 weeks, we've played ourselves into some complications and some issues. But I've got belief that I've got the right people with me to try and improve that and do our best to get back involved in it. Good question. I can't predict the future, so I don't know what is going to happen.
All I can do is try and prepare the boys and try and plan to win every game. But we've got some tough games left, but there's a lot of football to be played as well.
Dale is a Rangers fan from Wishaw. Dale, are you still in this title race?
I think it's a good question. I'm not sure, to be honest with you. I like Hugh's monologue at the start, and he made a lot of good points. I think he's right. Celtic's performances after the winter break have been great. There's no doubt about it. Rangers' performances, my team's performances have been really poor. It's the second year in a row we've had that. But I think we're remiss not to include a major point. The refereeing decisions which Rangers have had against them throughout the season, but particularly more recently, have been diabolical. I'll take John Beaton, for instance. The Kilmarnock game, there was at least three or four decisions which he got fundamentally wrong or missed. That could have been 3 points additionally Rangers would have had. If we take his game, which he took up at Pittodrie towards the end of last year, Rangers were denied a Stonewall penalty. When you have Andy Walker saying it's a Stonewall penalty, the referee standing right at it, and he apologises after it, that's 5 points alone. I could go into other games. I could even talk about some of the games Celtic have played. If we think about the game at Parkhead against Hamilton Accies, and the same night that Rangers played Aberdeen at Pittodrie, Celtic's second goal, there was 2 fouls leading up to that goal. The refereeing standard is so poor in this country, it's unbelievable.
Let me start by saying I actually agree with you in terms of the actual level of refereeing across the board. We done with Howler on Monday night. I gave the one that Rangers got a break with. It was Alan Muir, the handball at corner goals, and I thought it was a Stonewaller. At an important time, it was 1-1. We also looked at the Aberdeen one up at Pittodrie. Aberdeen on the back of 5 games without scoring a goal. We says that's a howler. We look at John Beaton. I've just mentioned a minute ago in terms of the handball, specifically at Kilmarnock the other night. Now, the actual level of refereeing, there was a point, I don't know if you've seen it or you've watched it, that I think it was the Kilty jumped on the back. I mean, literally jumped on his back of Tavernier and just wrecked him back. And you think to yourself, no, that doesn't have a big bearing in terms of goals or anything, but you think to yourself, at what point does that not become a yellow card? So my point is, the standard of refereeing across the board, and it's the big decisions. It's not you're moaning about a throw-in and things. These are key decisions, and they're not getting it right.
Dale, how do you feel when a lot of fans like you clearly think a lot went wrong the other night? How do you feel then when you hear your manager describing that as clutching at straws?
I understand that, and I think he's right. I think he's the manager of the Rangers Football Club. I think we've got a certain standard as a club that we've never wanted to lose. Although I've got to say, we've had to come out more recently, and I think because of the media. I think the media in this country is fairly one-sided, particularly the pundits. There seems to be a majority who are Celtic-minded as opposed to those who are of a Rangers side.
You're aware of which two pundits we've got in the studio tonight, Dale, yeah?
No, I'm not. I'm not talking particularly about yourselves.
Great.
But again, I've got no problem with Pope, like particularly David Provan and others, but I think there's a problem now where social media comes into it.
But also, you just said earlier on, you've just said Andy Walker, former Celtic player, said it was a Stonewall penalty, and you commended him for his honesty.
To be honest, though, we can't really speak on behalf of other people, and we would be here all night if we did, and we're late for the travel. But Dale does make a lot of relevant points, Hugh. So,
is the standard of refereeing in this country acceptable? No, it's not. Will referees decide who wins the league? No, they will not. That will come down to, over the course of 38 games, who has performed well, and included in that will be who has got over some poor refereeing decisions into the bargain.
Because we mentioned part of your howler, you know, the penalty Aberdeen didn't get, and Derek McInnes came out and he rhymed off 4 or 5, didn't he?
Absolutely.
They had, much in the same way that Dale rhymed them off. Yes. From Rangers. Now, this is the title race. This is Celtic and it's Rangers and this is Glasgow. So that gets the attention. But if you're going to put that as a major factor as to why Rangers are not in the title race anymore,
no.
Then do you also say, well, the reason Aberdeen are not further ahead in third is because they've, you know, you end up, you would be there all day doing that.
Gordon, you know, sorry, Hugh, do you know the thing that if you're affiliated with any team, you have to eliminate the referees? Because for me, they're going to make these mistakes. It's been consistent for several years now. And you have to win a game on your own merit and try and take that possibility that it's a decision that's going to cost you, because
well, it's the things that you can control, isn't
it? Without a doubt. Yeah. No, you look at Celtic. Celtic are going on and battering teams, and that's what Rangers have to do to overcome it, because the odd bad mistake is across the board.
Dale, thank you very much for the call. That was Dale in Wishaw. It's time for us to get some travel with Stephen. We're going to hear the thoughts of Neil Lennon. He's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Road Accident Solicitors. The compensation you deserve when you've been sidelined. Talk to Thompson's.com.
We are on the phone, 0141 951 1025. Get in touch, let us know how you see the title race at the moment. And what about tomorrow? Rangers fans, this is ultimately where it has to start going right. So who deserves a chance? Maybe some players that you think could come in and make a difference. Who would you leave out? Who has played one too many games in your opinion? Give us your thoughts. Who should play tomorrow? How do you see this going over the weekend? And Celtic fans, let's hear from Neil Lennon. He's brushing off suggestions of any complacency after opening up a 10-point gap. He says they're looking to extend it. He wants to stay fresh and hungry, as they have been in recent weeks.
Well, if you mean they're going to get complacent, then I doubt it very much. They'll maybe want to try and increase it if they can. I think that's the mode of thinking here at the minute. You know, no complacency. Don't take anything for granted. You know, let's just, you know, you're fresh, you know, you're fit, you look hungry, let's stay that way. You know, they're still willing not to, you know, give anything up and take on all challenges and whatever style of player that, you know, they want to come up against, they're there to work it out. You know, we're in a good place at the minute, we're not getting carried away, and we're just game at a time. There'll be peaks and troughs as we go along. There's more difficult games to come, and then you've got the splits, so there's a lot of football still to go.
Has Celtic's post-winter break form surpassed what either of you thought
without doubt
was possible?
Yeah, they went away tentative. They came back in superlative form. When they lost to Rangers on December 29, there was an allowable degree of concern. Now they've come back, 6 wins, 22 goals, 3 lost, and those who have been over this course before, McGregor, Forrest, Brown, they are playing out of their skin. And of course the contribution of Edouard, Ryan Christie, Lee Griffiths coming back the way he's come back has been a major factor for Celtic as well. So as I say, this is about Celtic earning where they are now. It's not about anyone slipping up and Celtic being there by default.
It didn't surprise me in the slightest, Gordon. When you look at the fixtures that they had coming back after the winter break, I thought they were very much, we often say this, Hugh, if you don't pick up points at certain grounds, you don't deserve to win a league. Mm. When you look at the fixtures that they come back with, obviously Kilmarnock is a tricky place, but you know, you've got Hamilton within that, you've got Ross County, St Johnston, Motherwell. These are all teams that I expect Celtic, with the resources and things, I always felt as if it was more likely to come down to the old firm. If anything, Rangers have not responded at all, and they're the ones that
perhaps
have had
even mean the
it doesn't surprise me. Because
I mean, within,
Celtic,
within games as well, though, not necessarily the points total, but look at the swing and the goal difference as well. Absolutely. It seems to be, you know, absolutely on top attacking form at the moment.
No, I take your point on board in terms of, does it surprise me that Celtic are steamrolling teams? No, they've got momentum, they've got great players. You know, you don't win trebles if you've not got good players. The fact that they've come back and put the foot to the floor, and I think that's the difference, because they're actually piling on the pressure for Rangers and they haven't responded.
Saturday will be fascinating, or Sunday, I beg your pardon, because, you know, last week Aberdeen was a formality. Now they've gone to Hamilton and got goals, which were not coming their way, and there'll be a different proposition. But I go back to those who have been over the course are showing the superiority that they clearly feel they have.
Barry in Barrhead is a Celtic fan. Are you the type, Barry, who is planning a title celebration already, or are you the type that would like to wait a little bit before getting carried away?
For sure, waiting a little bit, one game at a time. You know, I really, it's a cliche that's not used enough, but I think Celtic just have to focus one game at a time. But my main point was, after the Old Firm game, I'd been saying this for a while now, I'd hoped that Neil Lennon would have reverted to two up front. Now that he's done that, I just think, obviously, he's just been talking about the amount of goals. I think it's something that's it's really helped us, and I'm glad that he's recognised that and he's not stuck with, you know, the one up front. It's also brought out the best in Olivier Cham as well. I think it's brought out the best in the boy Taylor as well. He seems to be enjoying the wing back role. What I'm worried about is, you know, if players start to get injured and like they did right about the middle of the season, do you think Celtic will struggle, or do you think Celtic has got enough strength and depth to keep going?
You can't worry about players getting injured. You know, they could run up the stairs at Lennoxtown and trip.
Yeah.
You know, you have to go. You said it yourself, Barry. Game by game, week by week, midweek by midweek, and you can't begin to worry about what if.
They certainly look like in a good position to absorb it at the moment, Alex, because they've had a lot of injuries. If anything, yeah, it's sort of clean up. I mean, Barry singles out Olivier and Cham.
Yeah.
Let's just say he got injured. You've got a choice between Ryan Christie or Tom Rogic to come in, you know. So,
listen, Barry's obviously trying to kind of hedge his bets in terms of injuries. When you look at Celtic, just take the fullback areas as an example. They've got three of each. You know, they're overloaded in every single area, and I think this is one of the big advantages that Celtic have, because they've got the biggest budget. You know, they can accommodate all these players here, and as you say there in Sham, so you've got Christie, prior to his injury, was probably one of the best players in Scotland. Yep. Then you've got Tom Rogic coming back to a decent level. You've got Elianoussi coming back. You've got young Mikey Johnson, who's a really good player in the making as well. So you've got these players, plus you've got your mainstays. So it'd have to be a kind of remarkable amount of injuries for them not being able to cope.
What about the two up front as well, Alex? Because it's not as if Celtic were struggling to score goals before. I think that's a key point as well.
Yeah.
You don't win all the trophies they've won without, you know, being able to find the back of the net. Having now changed, they do seem to be scoring more, and you can understand why. Sorry, if you go back a couple of weeks, all the focus is, you know, will Celtic sign a striker? That was a lot of the focus, and it's almost like, to try and stay away from the cliche, but I can't word it any other way, Griffiths is kind of like a new signing in that regard. Because let's be honest, on the 29th of December, when Celtic fans hit their lowest point of the season, no one expected this Lee Griffiths. So it's not difficult to see why Neil Lennon's decided to play them both.
Yeah, and I think partly that was to do with the fullbacks, Gordon, in terms of the personnel. There was Bolingoli was injured, you know, you look over the other side, Frimpong, El Hamed was injured as well. But the actual shape is actually looks as if it's complementing their front guys, because they're getting their width from the wider guys, they're getting overloads in the middle. And the actual partnership, I don't think Neil Lennon could have envisaged the actual kind of upside it all, because the two of them have really hit off a brilliant, you know, kind of partnership. And when you look at the goals, I don't see that kind of 3-5-2 kind of formation changing anytime soon.
And the irony being that Celtic score 5 midweek against Hearts, and neither Edouard nor Griffith score. It's down to Simonovic, Julian McGregor and Shaman Christie.
How do you feel about this as a long term critic of Celtic's efficiency from set pieces?
Yeah, particularly corner kicks. Yeah, I've always said that they should forget about taking corner kicks. I now, as in days gone by,
They've improved.
I have to eat my words. But that's what Julian should be doing for a man of his height, and what Simonovic should be doing for a man of his height.
Is it wrong that I think about you late on a Wednesday night when I see the goals going in? Is that worrying?
Nah.
Because that's what happened when I saw them score from a corner. I thought, I'll be mentioning this on Friday.
That's what everyone thinks. You know, I've got them. I've got them on this one now.
Barry, Aberdeen on Sunday away. Have you got certain fixtures in mind that if you think, okay, if we overcome this and this, or if we're in X position by the time the Old Firm, what will it take for you to accept that the race is done?
Till it's mathematically impossible.
Okay.
You know, we've been over Helicopter Sunday, still in my heart and my head. You know, it's, you know, you just want it to be over the line as quickly as possible. But not until it's mathematically clear. Mm. Yeah, taking nothing for granted.
There's no doubt they're firm favourites, Celtic, you know, as it currently stands at the moment. And when you look at the way that both teams are playing, there'd have to be a real upturn
swing
in Rangers form.
And you don't like to talk about Helicopter Sunday much anyway,
well,
so it's fine. We could just move on. Here's a big story.
Yeah.
And I mean that. It takes a lot for me to want to get away from Scottish football, because it's clearly where it's all happening. Man City have been banned from the Champions League for 2 seasons and fined €30 million by UEFA
for
breach of financial fair play, I think. I've just sort of saw the headline.
It is the most,
that is incredible. Banned from UEFA competitions for 2 years.
It is
Man City.
The most swinging punishment I can ever recall in the game of football, never mind Scotland or England, in the world, I can never remember a punishment of this severity. And the financial burden it places, or even when Sheikh Mansour runs the club, 30 million euros, and the money that you lose by not playing in Europe for 2 years is astronomical.
Anyway, enough about that. Back to the big league. Let's speak to James in Clydebank. Hi, James.
All right, Gordon, Alex, James. How are you doing?
Hi, James, good.
Right, Gordon, you remember me, just as a wee footnote before I got to my main point, you remember me for like making the point about Edouard and Morelos?
Yes.
Talking about when they were debating about who's better. I've just, I actually done a wee bit of research, just out of curiosity, and the stats that I was looking at, just to basically back up my argument on that, was I seen Edouard scored 20 league goals this season, I think, and he's got 7 assists. Ryan Christie scored 11 league goals, and he's got 9 assists. Alfredo Morelos has scored 12 league goals and got 1 assist. So Ryan Christie's responsible for 20 goals personally, and Edouard's responsible for 27 goals personally.
James, you are not wrong, and I think Morelos has got more if you take all competitions than the other two. I just, it's one of those, we'll never get to the end of that debate, and we could do it every night, James. So let's crack on a bit with the here and now, if you don't mind.
I know, it's just because it's a point, it's a valid point.
Yes,
but
no, absolutely.
The European aspect as well, he's got 14 goals, but he's actually officially only be credited with 6 in Europe, because the goals in the qualifiers don't really count. That's including the Champions League
I'll hold it
on record for goals. They're not really actually officially recognised as Europa League goals.
Well, they are, if you remember UEFA. Anyway, this is the point, James, because now you've got me sort of coming back as if I think this is a big deal. I don't really, but just since you mentioned it, it was UEFA who put that article out saying that he's the whatever it was, the first player to reach X amount by Christmas. He's the top scorer in the group stages. I don't really see the relevance tonight, James. We can do this another time.
My main point is, it was just, I want to ask you a question. Several years ago, when Ronnie Delia was a manager of Celtic, Morelos, for the first day's management, he put out a big question. He said, is the job too big for him? I want to ask him the same question about Steven Gerrard here. Is the Rangers' job too big for Steven Gerrard?
You're perfectly entitled to ask the question. Steven Gerrard is going to have to come up with a trophy. If he has 2 barren years, you have to bear in mind that Steven Gerrard, in those 2 years, was up against a Celtic side who were carrying all before them, who had won a treble, followed by a double treble for the first time ever, followed by a triple treble for the first time ever, obviously. When Ronnie Dyla was Celtic manager, he had a league in which big clubs were not in it. That's why I think Celtic gave him the job. He was a relatively unknown Norwegian, and he got the job, I think, because it was easier for Celtic then. But to go back to your point about Steven Gerrard, if he fails to win a trophy, and that's 2 seasons in a row, then perhaps his employers won't look at how Celtic were at that particular time. They will be too concerned with, can they stop Celtic getting 10 in a row and the making of history?
James, so let's say Celtic do go on and win the title, as many expect them to do. What makes you inclined to think that that is as a result of the job being too big for Steven Gerrard and not, for instance, Celtic just having a better team?
Of course, I accept we've got a better team. That's what I ask my views on it anyway. So I know we've had years of building up and all that. We've got unbelievable talent in the squad. You know what I mean? I'm not denying any of that. But the fact is, Steven Gerrard's had plenty of money to spend, and he's signed nearly 40 players. So this isn't just his first season. This is his second season. He had the chance to sort out in the first season. This is the time where he's just seen it. We showed it in the first part of the season. But just as a wee point, as we were talking about earlier on, about the asking about injuries and that, Celtic have already proved this season they can merely cope with all the injuries, because, like I said the other night, we've had injuries from Morelos, Ibrox, no long after Ibrox, we got El Hamid, who was a superb signing, and then we started getting other players all injured. So we've merely improved.
To be fair, it was one of your fellow Celtic supporters who raised injury. Yeah. We didn't raise the matter.
To be fair to James, though, is he onto something when it comes to... Because when you start losing games, Alex, that's when everything else gets brought into sharp focus. And James mentions, you know, Steven Gerrard has been backed. He said as much on television the other night, so he doesn't doubt it, both in the money and the number of players that he's brought in.
Yeah.
Are there too many of those players that aren't contributing in the way that they should be?
Listen, Gordon, I think you're looking in the last 4 weeks. If you'd have said prior to that, if you'd have said 4 or 5 weeks ago, you'd have been going, yeah, they're all doing very well. However, the course of the last 4 weeks is actually raising a lot of question marks on where the Rangers players are, where the Rangers management team is. Now, that question that James actually puts out there is quite valid, but for me, it'll depend on where they are from now to the summer, because if they continue on this form for the course of a whole season, that'll be alarming. Then you have to factor in, is there any progress in terms of points for last year? Because let's put just a hypothetical. If Rangers surpassed Celtic's points tally last year, but Celtic then go on and add another 12 or 14 to what they had last year, do you still look at that as some sort of success from Rangers?
Progress, but you know,
sorry, that's not the wrong word. Progress would be the word you're looking at, because you're saying, okay, we put another 10 or 12% on top of the points for last year. However, Celtic will only put another 14. So how do you, you know, you've got to put it in context as well. And it will be, can he take this forward, get into next year?
James and Clydebank, thank you very much for the call. It's time for the travel with Alison. That means it's the perfect time for you to get in touch, and we could be speaking to you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the league leader for compensation. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Just a reminder of that big non-Scottish football story if you've missed it. Man City have been banned from European competition for the next 2 seasons, and a €30 million fine as well. So quite a big story, sending shockwaves across Europe at the moment. But here, let's focus on our own drama. Paul is a Rangers fan from Dumbarton. Hi, Paul.
Hello, how you doing, panel?
Good, Paul.
Good evening. Thanks very much for taking my call.
Not a problem.
Obviously, Wednesday night was a massive turning point for us. You can imagine a lot of Rangers fans, including myself, very, very disappointed. I just wanted to give my thoughts, though, on why I think we find ourselves struggling at the moment. If you don't mind, just a couple of minor points I'll quickly go through. I do feel there is a motivational issue around the players at the moment, and perhaps, obviously, something maybe has happened during the winter break, but we can only guess about that. And I don't think in any way, shape or form that's the biggest problem we have at the moment. Maybe a couple of things in the press recently as well that Stevie, the manager, obviously criticising players, and I agree that we should be protecting players when we're going through a sticky patch at the moment. Maybe no criticising people individually in front of the media, keeping it behind closed doors a bit, in the dressing room, you know, creating a bit of siege mentality, if you like. But I'm certainly still behind the manager and the team in general. I've got every trust and belief in them to turn this round. I believe they're fighting for the jersey, and I think they will be struggling and feeling very disappointed at the moment. I think we've also gambled a wee bit too much in a tactical A, sort of kind of a plan A kind of game. We clearly don't have a plan B or C at the moment in games. That's very, very frustrating to watch. I can't put my finger on why that seems to be the case, but we can never seem to come at teams to a different angle. But very quickly, one of my main point, this comes down to the fact that we still don't have the depth of squad that Celtic have, or the depth and quality. And that's always going to bring a risk of this drop in performance happening during the course of a season. And this can quite quickly turn into unease and nervousness around the club and in the dressing room. And it takes a special kind of player to be able to perform when that begins to happen. We just don't, unfortunately, have that luxury at this point in time. And it pains me to say that. I mean, if you do quickly just have a look at the situation that we're in, you look at the injuries. Jack is back for injury. Tav still recovering after his operation. Barrett is injured. Davis out, fatigued. We're missing the quality of these players. Before injured, Morelos looks a bit out of sorts, and it comes down to money. The depth of the squad. Money to me just doesn't buy you quality, but it buys you the quality that has consistency over a season. You're buying consistency, and when you're shopping higher up in the transfer market, you're getting that. I mean, any player can perform, if you ask me, in one game or a few games to a high level or for bits of a season. The real quality is when you can get a player or a team to perform at a high level in more games over the course of a season. I know we're progressing, but I feel that with the budget that we're still playing about with, that for our squad, we've always got a risk of this dropping performance happening. I mean, I just done a wee bit of research and looked at the figures. Celtic squad valuation, $100 million. We're sitting at $56 million. And Aberdeen in third place, $12.5 million. They're 19 points below us in third place at the moment. So, to me, it's doing it to the figures. Man City, Liverpool, $1 billion. Right, Norwich bought them in the Premier League, $130 million. So between us and Celtic, you're talking $34 million of a difference in squad valuations. And to me, we just don't have the luxury of being able to take players dropping in form or having injuries. But to everybody that's criticising all the players and wanting this guy drop and that guy drop, they're back 6 weeks. Right? Look at the squad that beat Celtic 2-1 at Parkhead. Kent and Katic scored that day. It was the same manager, the same group of players. Right? Celtic have lost, obviously, against Livingston back in October, 2-0. Through against Hibs. There's a lot of variables for me to take into consideration.
So what do you do then, Paul? Sorry, Hugh. What do you do then, Paul? Because I don't think you're wrong at all. I think you're clearly right. Celtic have more money. They are coming at this from a position of strength. Rangers are playing a catch-up. So you're absolutely right. But what do? Do you just settle for second best until such times as you earn as much money as Celtic? Which, goodness knows when that would be. What do you do about it?
It's a very, very good question. And to me, unfortunately, I think the reality, the grim reality for us, and a lot of people might be angry or disagree with me, is that we need our top 11 players within that team to be fit, injury-free, and consistently performing over the course of nearly a whole season. And we also need a bit of lady luck. And that leads me on. I think Wednesday night, that was one of the games that even with the injuries that we had, players returning for injury, the dropping form, we still came away with a victory on Wednesday night. And I do feel that, if you want to use the term, lady luck wasn't with us. I don't feel their first goal still stood. It was a handball for me. And how Morelos' goal wasn't allowed, I cannot believe it every time I think of it.
Right, Paul, the reason I'm just going to butt in, Paul, is because we're really, really close to the news, but you make a lot of good points, and I know you'll want the guys really to answer them. So if you want to take it away, Hugh.
First of all, with regard to the money that Celtic have and Rangers don't have, Celtic have a successful business model off the park and have done for over 20 years, and Rangers did not look after their own affairs properly. With regard to the quality and depth that Celtic have, I'm not sure that Paul would have come on and made the same remarks on the night of December 29. It is whatever has happened between the night of December 29 and the evening of February 14 that is the concern. Rangers have come back and dropped points in the unlikeliest places, and Celtic have dropped nothing.
Yeah, listen, it's an interesting one because we were talking about it in the last break before this guy actually came on, Paul, and I was saying, listen, it's extremely difficult. I think lack of forms obviously cost Rangers, obviously the injuries. Now, we had it earlier on the season, we had Celtic fans on saying, you know, obviously there's a few injuries impacted depending on the results were coming through. I think one of the key things that Paul's also missed there in terms of, for me, Celtic can go and get Fraser Foster, £10 million goalkeeper. They can go and get Elanusi, £16 million player. I'm not sure when you look at Rangers, can they go and attract the same type of loan player in terms of value?
Would Defoe not fall into that bracket? And I know he doesn't have that value, but that's surely just because of his age, is it not?
Well, I think if you look back, I think 2015, Defoe left Sunderland for a free. You know, so we're talking about 4 or 5 years ago that he actually left. I'm not sure the platform, because don't forget, Rangers were not in Champions League qualifiers, not that at that time as well. That may well be an added bonus that Celtic have to attract players. But I just feel as there. And then I always go back to the old one. Celtic managed to bring kids through as well, whereas I don't see that at Rangers for numerous years as well. That's another factor. You look at the impact that Mikey Johnson's had throughout the course of this season, you know, all being it's just that one player.
And then really one of their main men is Callum McGregor.
Well, you've also got James Forrest in there. Yeah. So you've obviously got a couple of guys that are actually making an impact from the academy. Again, you know, it's something that Rangers are lacking. But getting back to Paul's, how do you change that? You have to get a wee bit of luck in terms of Rangers having their key players, because they were very fortunate in the first part of the season. There wasn't many key players out. You've seen the upshot of that. But again, that goes back to recruitment and can the players step in, and they haven't quite done that.
Paul, loads of interesting points raised. Just sorry that we can't do it a bit longer because we're already late for the news, but do give us a call back sometime and we'll deal with as many of them as we can.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Right, you've got a couple of minutes less than usual because we genuinely are very late for the news. But if you want to play Beat the Pundit tonight, 0141 951 1025, take on Hugh or Alex, win yourself a signed ball. It's as simple as that. Phone us before 7 o'clock, please.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, the form team for compensation for more than 40 years. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Hugh Keevans is here. Alex Ray is alongside him, looking back on a big night on Wednesday. But of course, whilst previewing Saturday as well, there's a chance for Rangers to try and get their season back on track, try and find an upturn in form. So what does that look like, Rangers fans? Who should play tomorrow? Let's get specific about tomorrow. Is there anyone you think should come into the team? What in particular has been going wrong? How would you fix it tomorrow? And we're going to hear from Celtic's Greg Taylor after we do this.
Beat the Pundit with the Scottish Sun.
For the best football news and opinion online, thescottishsun.co.uk/football.
Did you hear the big news? The big Beat the Pundit related
yes,
news?
Absolutely. We've lost this week, Hugh.
The listeners have won the week for the first time since September.
Power to the people.
Was it September last year or the year before? Or was September not as far back as I thought, but
even still,
since the first time since September, the listeners have won the week.
Big guilty men who lost.
Did you lose on Monday?
Correct.
You lost on Monday.
Mark Wilson
lost last night.
To be fair, he's done well, didn't he? He got two
and
right.
And Gordon lost on Tuesday. So the listeners have won. The pressure is off. Gordon and Cumbernauld, you're just on to rub their noses in it. Is that okay?
Yeah, that'll be fine, yep.
Good man. I'm going to toss the coin and see who you're up against, Gordon. If it's heads, it will be Hugh Keevans, who, like I say, lost on Monday. And if it's tails, it will be Alex Ray. Let's see what we've got. And it is tails, Alex Ray against Gordon from Cumbernauld. So let's give Alex Ray some Clyde 2 to listen to. And it's just you and I now. Gordon, you have 30 seconds. You're going head-to-head with Alex. You can pass. That's the secret. If you don't know it, pass and move on quickly to the next one, okay?
Okay,
good man, your time starts now. Which Scottish team played at Love Street?
St Mirren.
Which two teams face each other tonight in the Scottish Championship?
Alloa and Dundee United.
Motherwell's highest fee paid for a player was £500,000 for John Spencer from which club?
Chelsea.
Which Scottish women's team does Joe Love play for?
Glasgow City.
What year did Moussa Dembélé join Celtic?
2015.
What national side does Hearts' Liam Boyce play for?
Northern Ireland.
During which decade did Dundee last win the Scottish top flight?
1970.
Okay, let's bring Alex back. Alex, have you got us?
Yes.
Loud
yes,
and
yes.
clear?
Yes.
You ready?
Yep.
Let's do it. Which Scottish team played at Love Street?
St Mirren.
Which two teams face each other tonight in the Scottish Championship?
Dundee United, Alloa.
Motherwell's highest fee paid for a player was £500,000 for John Spencer from which club?
Chelsea.
Which Scottish women's team does Joe Love play for?
Hibs.
What year did Moussa Dembélé join Celtic?
2017.
What national side does Hearts' Liam Boyce play for?
Northern Ireland.
And during which decade did Dundee last win the Scottish top flight?
The 80s.
Gordon, what's your verdict?
Alec never does very well against Partick Thistle.
Gordon's a Partick Thistle fan. Oh, well. Were you one of the ones that he gave the cut behind the ears, Gordon, and got sent off?
I'm sure I've waved at him a few times, yeah.
He remembers it fondly. He doesn't bring it up just once a fortnight.
I was there a couple of weeks ago for the air game. I was shouting you on a couple of Fridays ago, getting hospitality.
He's welcomed back somehow, Gordon. Let's go through them and find out. Which Scottish team played at Love Street? St Mirren. You both knew that. So it's 1-1. Which two teams face each other tonight in the Championship? Alloa Dundee United. You both got that. 2-2. Motherwell's highest fee paid for was John Spencer, £500,000 from Everton.
Oh, I'd never got that.
We'll come back to the next one then. What year did Moussa Dembélé join Celtic? It was 16. One of you went 2015, one went 2017. You were either side of it. What national side does Liam Boyce play for? You both got it, Northern Ireland, so we're level. During which decade did Dundee win the Scottish top flight, Hugh?
60s.
It was the 60s.
Dundee United.
None of you got it. So all comes down to question four. Which Scottish women's team does Joe Love play for? Alex went for Hibs, Gordon went for Glasgow City, and Gordon is the winner.
Oh,
it is Glasgow City.
It.
Gordon, you've
well done, Gordon.
Not only have the listeners won this week, they have absolutely battered the pundits this week. Well done, Gordon.
Thank you. Cheers.
Gordon, you've got more points than this will have.
Just about. I'll get up for a win tonight.
Absolutely. Good man. That was Gordon in Cumbernauld. What a week it's been for the listeners. So what was that? 4-1? 4-1 to the listeners this week. You'll need to... Producer Andy's budget for the signed balls is gone.
Out the window.
I'm going to have to get the finger out next week.
Alex joins me on the naughty step.
I've actually done okay.
Listen, what
are
you talking about? Love Street there.
Oh yeah, question one, Love Street.
Terrific call I got today, Alex. I have to tell you about this. 20 years ago,
yep.
Season 1999-2000, St Mirren won promotion from the First Division. I was there covering the game that won them promotion for Super Scoreboard. 15 minutes after the crowd had gone, a man walked onto the pitch with the trophy. He stood in the centre circle and he held it up to heaven. And he held it there for some time. And I said at the time on the programme, I'm witnessing something here that would touch your heart. Obviously, this means an awful lot to this man's relative or friend. 20 years later, I got a call this afternoon from the man who said he'd always wanted to say to me how much the comments made on Super Scoreboard had meant to his mother. And the story was picked up on by one of our top pundits. And he, in a newspaper article, explained that the man at that time was working for St Mirren. His father had died shortly before. And 20 years later, he just wanted to say thank you.
So you've never spoken to him since then?
I spoke today. I didn't speak to him that day. I just happened to be at the back of the stand doing Super Scoreboard. He was in the centre circle with the trophy, showing it to his dad in heaven.
Brilliant.
Absolutely love that.
20 years later.
So today, just before we came on air, I did hear you on the phone in there.
Yeah.
Wow. There we go. Some good can come of this show after all, Hugh Keevans, eh?
It shows the
people
the
remember
grit that have. Matt Carey's name was, I hope he doesn't mention, mind me mentioning that. His mum has now passed away as well. But it meant so much to her for 20 years.
Brilliant. There we go. Hopefully it was an enjoyable phone call you had this afternoon. Matt, if you're listening, 01419511025 on the phones, at Clyde SSB on Twitter. We are 5 minutes in between Alloa and Dundee United, and it is goalless. So we'll keep you up to speed on anything that may happen in the opening stages of that one. Don't forget, Dundee United very much on the title charge, but they came unstuck at Alloa earlier on in the season. So it's not beyond the realms of possibility that that happens this evening. So we'll watch that one with interest. Let's hear a bit from Celtic's Greg Taylor, shall we? He's been speaking to the media today. He's hoping to pin down a regular spot in the team after his run of games and performances. He's now started 4 of the last 5s, and he's quite enjoying the freedom of that wing-back role.
No, I'm enjoying it. I'm playing well, and the team are playing well, so I can't complain. We're scoring a lot of goals and keeping clean sheets, so doing what was asked of us, and that's all we want to continue to do. Personally, again, want to create as many goals as I can, and but it's important to also arm a defender and keep clean sheets. Like, especially as a wing-back, we didn't ever really play the 3-5-2 at Kilmarnock, so no, there is a wee bit more onus on the attacking play there, and it's my longest run in the team, so I'm growing in confidence with every game, and long may it continue again. I want to become a regular at Celtic. That was always my aim. I said this since I came in the door. I understand that a massive club like this, there is competition for places, but I've got full belief in myself that I can become a regular, and that's what I aim to do over the next few months.
Let's speak to Gordon, who is a Celtic fan from Kilmacombe. Hi, Gordon.
Good evening, panel. How are you?
Hi, Gordon. Good, thank you. How are you?
I'm not okay. I'm okay.
Good, man.
I feel kind of bad, because every time I come on, it's not personal with Alex Ray. He just kind of winds me up a wee bit. I was just the fact that, you know, you were talking about Celtic, you know, that something that they're losing Celtic got, and they're bringing on like Fraser Poston on, who's here 10 and 27. Nothing's changed since the start of the season, and it was the exact same at Christmas as well when they beat us, and thoroughly beat us, you know what I mean? So we beat them at the start of the season, they beat us. But nothing's really changed, and I just think there's been a big hype from no, and I'm not just saying that because now we're 10 points, we're still ahead when we get beat by them as well, you know. But I just think that the reality is kicking in now that and Celtic have got better players, they have got more money, and it's kind of shown the depth of the squad. But yeah, at the start, Rangers, we were still ahead at the end, they had a game in hand. But I'm not saying cream goes to the top, but that's generally what happens, you know what I mean? I think when we played at Parkhead, we didn't have a striker. We didn't have a striker that played. I'm not making excuses for it, Parkhead.
Did Edward not play?
I think Edward played that day, didn't he, Gordon?
I don't think he didn't start, did he?
Yeah, you're thinking of the cup final.
Did he come on?
Cup final.
But it wasn't it was something like that anyway. You're right. Yes. But what I'm just saying is it's nothing really changed since then. And you're right, I don't know what's happened since Christmas to now for Rangers. But
Gordon, you're actually agreeing with me, because when I was talking about Elanussi and then the strength and depth, you've actually just said that more money. They're the facts. And for me, it allows you.
What I'm saying is, I definitely agree with you, but what I'm saying is, the punters and everyone else was saying that there's a title challenge on now. It's never really changed. I don't think there was a title challenge on, I just think they were quite close to them. You know what I mean? And now they're getting. Nothing's changed as far as I'm concerned, but the punters are putting on this guy that signed for Rangers that scored the goal, and what's his name that scored on his debut. And the next day, they're putting in the papers, this guy. This is a £100 million player.
Gordon, who's actually saying it's £100 million?
Yeah, that's just a quote from someone. It's not.
That's some guy who I think it was a foreigner who says in due course, further down the line, he will cost this, and the papers pick up on it. I don't think anybody in here in their right mind would have actually said he was going to be £100 million player.
What about the general point? Because yet again, I feel like we're giving away something we also then spoke about at the last break after we had a similar discussion, Alex. 4 weeks on or whatever it is, and Gordon's right, nothing's changed in terms of personnel. There was no significant business done. What can you conclude from that then? Can we conclude that some of the players who were built up by people, by pundits, by Rangers fans, by Steven Gerrard, whatever, in the first half of the season, was some of that over the top, or are they just having a dip? What's the answer?
Listen, I think he says nothing's changed, but what I do know was for the first couple of games, Morelos was suspended for his first three games directly after the window. So that changed for starters from that aspect. Tavernier come back, he was injured. That changed. A big miss. You look at Barisic, the last games. So there's been one or two things.
Even at that though, I mean, there was a lot of hype around players like Ryan Kent with the big price tag, Glenn Kamara, you know, Joe Aribo. And I'm not saying those guys, it's their fault for this slump in form, but
what's changed? I'll tell you what's changed. The form's changed. You can clearly look at them collectively and individually. The form's changed. That's what's changed, because you're looking at players who are playing at a very good level now. Even all of us are going into the European ties in the next couple of weeks. When Rangers were going into European games, and I mean away from home as well, you were feeling confident, Hugh, that they would get something from it. Even at home, you think they haven't lost in 12 or 13 under Gerrard at home. I'm not sure you could actually label that at the now, because of the lack of form collectively. No, you couldn't even say there was anybody with Rangers that are actually playing at the level before that window. So collectively, plus the players that are coming in, are not having the impact, because when they were coming in previously, they were getting the results. So you're not scrutinising the guys as much as you are now. Are they making that same impact? And it's purely to do with the actual lack of form throughout the whole club.
Yeah, Gordon, what are you feeling in terms of the overall picture going to Aberdeen? Is this already over in your mind? I think you said something about you never believed there really was a title race. What more does Celtic need to overcome?
I just think it's all a big hype, and it's just proven to be a big hype. And it was selling papers, it was selling whatever you want to call it. And the season's not finished at Christmas. Doesn't it finish at Christmas? I'm more confident than I was yesterday or the day before or last weekend, whatever. But I just think if you're a real football guy, or pub, whatever you want to look at it, that apart from them putting up a wee bit of a chase, it's like anybody. It's like, no, I just think it's Gerrard's maybe his obviously experience. It's his first job. I just think that's Celtic's not won 8 trophies for nothing. It's not just because, you know what I mean, it takes a lot to go over the line. Alex will tell you that. It takes a lot.
The cup
games are what, 34 or 35 I've never lost. To win every single cup game for the last 3, 4, 5 years,
That's an amazing. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't happen by chance. So for somebody to try and come up and surpass that, or say they're going to be better than it, I just think it's not.
And that's why I say Celtic are where they are because of merit. They are not there by default because Rangers lost at Kilmarnock and Rangers lost at Tynecastle. Celtic have looked after their business properly. They have come back from the winter break, played 6 league games and won the lot and scored 22 goals and lost 3. Something has come over Rangers. It's Steven Gerrard's job to find out what that is. But they left on December 29 in a very favourable position. And on February 14, they are now in an unfavourable position.
Gordon, thank you very much. Let's move quickly on to Kenneth in Kilmarnock. What's on your mind tonight, Kenneth?
Hi there, how you doing?
Good, thank you.
First of all, I'd just like to thank you for letting me on. Being a Kilmarnock supporter, I didn't think I'd actually got on.
Well, we had one last night as well, Kenneth, so there we go.
I don't want to fall out with Alec Ray or get catty, but I just want to know if he actually knows the laws of the game.
In terms of what?
Well, he was talking about the Kilmarnock Rangers game and he was saying about Greg Kilty, it was actually Rory McKenzie that...
Oh, right, okay, so, I got a name wrong, but in terms of the laws of the game, do you think it was a handball, Kenneth?
I've watched it several times and I don't think it was pictures conclusive.
In what way, Kenneth?
I just couldn't see the ball changing flight, but that's not what I was talking about.
It doesn't have to change flight, remember?
No, I know that, so can we guarantee that it hit his hands? And I don't think we can 100% guarantee it hit his arm. So that was that one. The one you said about jumping on, why is that a yellow card?
Because it's a clear infringement of dragging someone back where you have no intention of playing with the ball.
See,
by the way, if that was any other game, Kenneth, if that was any other game, I actually seen it a week before as well with Bobby Madden. When I think it was Louis Stevenson jumped on Morelos. I've played the game for donkey's years. That is 100% a yellow card.
In fairness, just because we could do this all night, can we limit it to big decisions, match changing decisions? I know that, because that one comes under sort of mild frustration, doesn't it? But in terms of goals, penalties, red cards, these are the ones that...
Personally speaking, I would like to see it as a yellow card, because he's not intending playing the ball. But it doesn't infringe or it doesn't prevent a promising attack. And that's what the laws of the game state.
No, of course it does. Because
that's what the laws of the game state. Law 15. For unsporting behaviour.
Do you know the funny thing here, Kenneth? You've had a terrific result and you could see Alex Dyer, what it meant to him on the touchline. And yet, the point is about carping and not paying attention to Eamon Brophy and that laser-like strike for the winning goal, or Stephen O'Donnell for the quality of his finish. You know, if we don't praise Kilmarnock, we get it in the neck. Your very first comment was, being a Kilmarnock fan, I didn't think I'd get on here. Why? Why wouldn't you get on here? So,
it's predominantly Celtic and Rangers.
Yeah, they're the bigger clubs and they have more fans than anyone else. But there's no impediment to you or anyone else getting on here. And my point to you would be, try and give your own team praise, because if we don't praise them, you'd be jumping down our neck. And we're trying to praise O'Donnell and Brophy here, and a team who did not give up. 1-0 down, and Rangers unlucky not to be even further in front, but did not give up and scored 2 goals.
Hugh,
in the last 13
minutes. Just out of
curiosity,
did you think it was a handball?
I go back to my learned friend Steven Gerrard, the Rangers manager, who said it'd be clutching at straws, because he had defenders who should have...
Yeah, but that's
cut
a different point,
out.
Hugh. That's a different point, whether his defenders should be heading
it. I'm not convinced that it had anything to do with anything.
Kenneth, let's go.
I just want to say, I think you should apologise to John Beaton. Your comment, Alec, was, I don't know what's going through his head. What was going through his head was the laws of the game, and the laws of the game say that's not a yellow card.
Well, do you know the laws about the silhouette, Kenneth?
He's not talking about the handball. We're talking about this other one. But honestly, see, for now, arguing about yellow cards in the middle of the park, we will never get over it.
It was just outside the Rangers penalty.
You know what I mean? I'm talking, Kenneth, I'm talking about incidents that don't... And by the way, I blame Alex as much for this, because he brought it up. This is not blame at you, but we've got enough on our plate with handballs and goals and red cards and things that properly have a direct impact on games.
When Kilmarnock went 7 games in a row and lost every one, Kenneth would have been up in arms. So if they then have a big result against Rangers, any chance of praising them?
Ah, Kenneth.
The result's fantastic.
You can phone about, absolutely fantastic. You don't have to listen to him, Kenneth. You can phone about whatever you want.
I just think you should throw in a word of praise for your own team.
Oh, go on then. Keep an old man happy, Kenneth, on Valentine's Day. Praise your team and we'll cheer him up.
The result's fantastic. Brophy's superb. Great goal for O'Donnell. What else can I say?
Brilliant. We're all pals. That was Kenneth in Kilmarnock. Thank you very much to Kenneth. You two better team up because we've got a full-time teaser for you next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Getting you full compensation is their goal. Talk to Thompson's.com.
It's time for tonight's full-time teaser. Now, the response on Twitter to these teasers in the last two nights has been phenomenal. So many people have been sending their correct answers in. So let's see how you two fare tonight. And by the way, we're always on the lookout for questions. We really need as many questions as possible. It's a long old season, and the aim of the game on the full-time teaser is that you provide the questions. So if you want to hear yours used at some point in the future, the address you need is fulltime@clyde1.com. Tonight's was sent in by Murray Fraser, so we thank Murray in advance. And he says, can you name the last 12 Scots to appear in a European Cup / Champions League final? Can you name the last 12 Scots to appear in a European Cup / Champions League
Lambert.
Final? Who wants to get us
Andy
off the
Andy Robertson.
Andy Robertson.
Paul Lambert.
You're doing them in reverse order as well so far. Very impressive.
Right, okay.
Right. So Paul takes us back to the 1990s then. Paul Lambert.
It's just the last 12 Scots to appear in a European Cup / Champions
Dalglish.
League final. Yes, just the three.
Hansen.
Not bad. Okay, we'll leave it there because that's
I've
a good
got one
start.
There. Stevie Nicol.
Yes, that's an excellent start. We're looking for the last 12 Scots to appear in a European Cup / Champions League final. You've got Dalglish, Nicol, Hansen, Lambert, Robertson. Five down, seven to go. Plenty of time to get it right. Okay, let's take a quick look at some of tomorrow's other fixtures. Motherwell against St Mirren, big one for us. It's a mini slump all of a sudden for Motherwell, Hugh.
Yeah.
And I say that tongue in cheek, purely because they've set the bar so high. It's the longest winless run of the season. And they'll be looking to try and put that right and try and reclaim third place tomorrow after missing a huge chance to do it during the week.
Stephen Robinson's been very honest about it. When they lost to Livingston, he just panned them. Not in a malicious way, but just pointed out that they could not have hit a barn door. And they've, as you say, mini slump. But St Mirren, likewise, could really be doing with the point. So that will have a lot of meat on the bones tomorrow.
Well, he's trying to ignore the doubters as he looks to reclaim that third spot. St Mirren tomorrow after three straight league defeats. The manager says he has some striking dilemmas ahead of the game.
The negative ones are always heard more. They seem to have the louder voices. I don't pay too much attention to them. I don't read it. I'm not on any of that stuff. But unfortunately, players do. But we've said to them, remember what we have. You know, remember how good a side we are. You know, we're not doing a whole lot wrong. We're being punished for little things at the moment, and we're not going to rip up the script. You know, we're not ripping up the script. We're not ripping up what we've done. We're a very good side, and we'll continue to prove that, and we'll come back out the other side of them. Chris Long won't be available. Probably be out for a couple of weeks. Unfortunately, Mikel Njoli, who we thought might get a little run on the side now, he's injured as well. He got injured yesterday in training. We have to make a decision whether Tony Watt's ready to start the game. I don't feel he quite is, but needs must. And we've got young Ross McIver as well, who certainly didn't let us down against Hibs, and for me can get better and better.
Not ideal timing, Alex. Yeah. You move James Scott on, of course, because it seems like the right thing to do. A lot of money, and then a couple of little other, you know, injuries or suspensions flag up, and all of a sudden you're a bit short up top.
Yeah, they didn't have a lot of time to get people in as well, Gordon, due to the fact it was so late in the window. But he's doing a remarkable job, you know, the joint top, third and fourth. So if you said at the start of the season, on the back of the job that he did last year, would he be there? The brand of football they're playing. And they've got a couple of games in which they'll think they've got a wee opportunity. They've obviously got St Mirren, Hamilton coming up as well, Ross County. They're all winnable games to try and kick on.
And from a St Mirren perspective, let's hear from Jim Goodwin as well. Obviously goes without saying, you know, equally as big a game, because they've both got different aims. Mother looking to reclaim third, St Mirren more about trying to climb themselves towards safety.
Yeah, well, I don't like the fact. Am I right in thinking that they've also got a cup replay?
Yes,
midweek?
They have as well.
Yeah, against each other again.
So I never like that. But, you know, for Jim Goodwin, Jakubiak scored a good goal for St Mirren against Motherwell. He's in there fighting for survival, and he's looking at Hamilton Accies and Hearts beneath him. knowing that if he could get something out of that Motherwell game, you know, they could put some clear water between themselves and the other strugglers.
Well, new signing Ross Wallace says he's ready to reignite his love of the game after joining St Mirren. He's happy to be back with Jim Goodwin. He says used to kick lumps out of him when they played together coming through at Celtic.
Oh, I love football, and that, obviously that was one of the things coming here. You know, I've had that buzz. The gaffer says you want to come in. You know, you get that feeling right away. Oh, I'd love to come in. You know, it's got some brilliant young players here as well. So, you know, hopefully I could help them with my experience. But, you know, I love football. I love playing football. It's a brilliant job. And I'm fit. You know, I've been fortunate, touch wood, I've not had any bad injuries. So, you know, and everybody else says keep playing as long as you possibly can. So perfect for me, and I think it's, you know, it's good for the gaffer because obviously he's had injuries. So hopefully I can come with my experience, and you know, I'm still fit. I can still, you know, run around and score sharp. So, you know, hopefully it's good for both parties. I want to have a successful season. I want to have a good season. I want to play well. I want to play in this team first and foremost. So I'm going to try and get fit the next couple of weeks, and hopefully force my way in.
Were you and Jim together on Celtic youth team?
Yeah, I was coming through, and obviously the gaffer used to kick lumps at me in the reserve team when I was just a young kid coming through. But obviously the gaffer was a really good player himself, and you know, his hunger to do well for St Mirren, you know, obviously that played a part.
Hugh is on the line. He is a Motherwell fan from Lanark. What do you make of where your team are at the moment, Hugh?
Good evening, guys. How are you?
Good, thank you.
I've not spoken to you in a wee while. I've not had the chance to come back on. But as I was just saying earlier on there, that I actually think a lot of the fans think Motherwell are bigger and better than what we actually are because of the success we've had this season, especially the way we turned things around from last year and the previous year. I'm just enjoying how we're going about our business just now, especially with now being debt-free, club-owned, fan-owned club. What does the fans actually expect out of a club of our size and where we are? I expect us, hopefully we'll finish in the top six. Well, I would imagine we would finish in the top six. Things will turn around. Every team goes through a slump. You look at Rangers just now, they've been through a slump. Every team, it will happen to them. The injury to Long, I think, is a big one for us at the minute because he does a lot of running off the ball. He drags defenders about and makes space for other things. Against St John's the other night, I watched the game. I thought we had a very, very poor second half. Not bad first half, very poor second half. So hopefully the guys will kick on. The next two games, especially against St Mirren, tomorrow and Tuesday night, definitely winnable. All we need to do is just get back to what we were doing previously. And fans, just stay positive. We're in a good place at the minute.
You're absolutely right, Hugh. You're absolutely right. In terms of being paying off the debt, you know, that was the idea initially. I don't think you would have presumed you'd have paid it so quickly. You still get Turnbull to come back for fitness. I think the next four or five games are actually crucial because to cement that third place are the crucial because you've obviously got St Mirren, Ross County, Hamilton. For me, I think Hearts in there as well. So you look at them games and that gives you a really good incentive to kick on.
I think if you rise to third place in the table and everyone heaps praise on the team and the manager, then it's fair enough if it goes off the ball for a minute that you point it out. I mean, I don't think you're supposed to say, no criticism.
But Hugh's right in a sense, though, because it does come back to perspective, does it not? You know, in a division that has Celtic, Rangers, Hibs and Hearts.
Aberdeen.
Budget terms, Motherwell's main aim is probably to survive in the division. But we accept that in the past few years they're probably a better side than that.
Yeah.
You look at top six. That's a success,
bonus,
isn't it?
Yep. I would say that is success. But the only point I'm making is that, okay, with good, there will come bad in football. And you have to get your head around that. Motherwell have had a very good season. Stephen Robinson is a very good manager. The books are in a very good condition. So if there's a couple of bumps in the road, you're entitled to bring it up.
Hugh, what do you do tomorrow then? Do you go with a Tony Watt that hasn't started many football matches recently and see how long you get? Or have you got something else up your sleeve?
I think you've got to go with Tony Watt. Tony Watt's more experienced than what young MacIver is. And I don't knock young players because the young players over the years have really put Mullow through their seasons. Especially, you will look at Turnbull, he dragged us through the season, Turnbull, last year. And by far a country mile, he was our player of the season. especially from, I think it was actually the country's player of the year from January right through to the end of the season, top goal scorer and ever. So you can't deny young players are what Mullow are all about. I think, especially for tomorrow, just with the run we've been on, I think put Tony Watt up there, even if it gives us 60 minutes, let Tony Watt go up there. I actually would like to see the manager, and I understand what Hugh was saying there, a wee bit of criticism. Yeah, I was a wee bit critical of the team and how we were playing, but I still look in the positive side to say, it's probably just the final third, that wee thing's not happening where it was before at the beginning of the season. We were getting to the second balls first, the first balls first, we were doing that. We've just went off the ball a wee bit, and I do appreciate that, and I do get frustrated. I'm the worst one, I sit behind the goals in the Cooper, and you see me in television ranting, shouting and bawling, and my missus says that to me, she goes, I can see you. And I went, you can probably hear me as well for third part. But I think the goal we experience tomorrow, I would like a little bit of change in formation, even maybe a 3-5-2, if we could do that, just to test it. I would like to have a wee bit of change just to try and mix it up again, because I think teams have now started to suss us out with the 4-3-3, mate. They compact it, and we're quick at moving the ball, so hopefully Rob will have a look at it. But again, I've got faith in the guy. I've never once called for a manager's head over the years. That's up to the board to do their job. I'm just there to support the club, support the board, support the players. That's my job.
Well, we're looking forward to it tomorrow as well, Hugh. One of the big games we'll be focusing on from 2 o'clock. So we are looking forward to it. Hopefully you enjoy your day out. Don't rant and rave too much. Your wife will see you on the television behind the goal. We're going to speak to Scott and Kirk and Tillock very soon. Just quickly, what more have you got on tonight's teaser? We're looking for the last 12 Scots to appear in a European Cup / Champions League final. Thank you to Murray Fraser for sending the question. Oh my goodness, would you look at the conditions?
I know.
Between
beautiful.
Alloa and Dundee United,
it's torrential.
Kevin, that is not good fun. Sorry, you've got Dalgleish, Nicol, Hansen, Lambert, Robertson, Andy Robertson,
Kevin McNaught.
Yes. Well, Ken
McNaughton.
No, Ken McNaught.
Yes,
yeah. I'll give you. You said Kevin. You're getting two players mixed up.
Darren Fletcher.
No.
Des Bremner.
Yes.
Kenny Burns.
No. Not in the last 12.
John Robertson.
Not in the last 12. Okay, yes, we'll leave it there. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 to get. We'll get them next. And Scott and Kirk and Tillock, he wants to discuss Alfredo Morelos. He's coming up next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. They play to win every time. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Alex Ray and Hugh Keevans are here. And just something a bit different for the final part tonight. If you ever wanted to know what it's like for Hugh Keevans when he takes his glasses off, well, go to the BBC Scotland channel right now and watch Alloa against Dundee United. The camera is covered in rain and you can barely see. And that is what Hugh Keevan sees when he takes his glasses off. So there you go. Quickly on the teaser, have you got any more?
There's a third Villa player.
Correct, but you need to give me his name.
I'm struggling.
All right, we'll leave it there for now. I'll give you some clues in a bit if you need them. Scott has been hanging on for quite a while. My apologies, Scott. The floor is yours.
Yeah, good evening, panel. Not a problem. I wanted to put the point mainly to Alex because I wanted to ask him a wee question at the end of this with regards to if he was in the same team as Morelos. But the last time I was on the show, probably 3-4 months, I used to be a regular caller. I have never been a fan of Morelos, never been a fan of him at all. I actually struggle to watch Rangers Morelos playing in the team. I don't like his attitude, his arrogance, his lack of respect. As a fan, I watch him week in, week out when he plays, and I just expect that something's going to happen that he gets sent off. I don't think he's ever going to learn. He's not this player that all these Rangers fans with blinkers on believe that he is. He's not going to get this big super move because who's going to take him? If anybody comes in, it's going to be a wee championship. I'm not going to be as big as Rangers. But the point I wanted to ask Alec, as a supporter watching Morelos, I don't trust the guy, and I don't think he learns from any mistakes he makes. So my question to you is, what is it like for the fitter players that play with him? Because if you played along with him, how do you play with a guy like that when you can't trust him because you don't know? I know his game's all about his physical, but the petulance he does. I could go on and on, but I'm only taking that game the other night there. I was embarrassed for him, that performance. Not just the performance, but how many times did they fall and he bumped?
Just for some context, Scott, you are a Rangers fan, yeah, just to clear that up.
Absolutely, but I'm not a blinkered Rangers fan. I'm an honest Rangers fan, and I'm saying it as I see it, because
you know, there's Rangers fans that, I mean, I'm all for backing the team, but you've got to be honest, he's an absolute liability, and he's always going to be a liability. And as far as I'm concerned, see moving forward, the quicker Rangers get rid of this guy, the better. Now, see, as far as I'm concerned, now, there was a title challenge. There was a Celtic fan on earlier, he says there never was one. There was one. But see, in the last 2 weeks, that's fell away. The title's over. Now, I'm hoping somewhere in the background that we can get Morelos moved on. And I don't know who we bring in or who we use.
Scott, see, without Alfredo Morelos, there probably wouldn't have been a title challenge at all.
Well, you can't say that. You can say it, but it doesn't mean it's true. Because you don't know who would have filled his boots and who would have scored goals.
Yeah, but the thing is, Scott, you can only take it as face value because he is there at the moment. And
to be fair, right, I think you can confidently predict that whoever takes his place wouldn't have 29 goals by this point in the season. I don't think that's a bold prediction.
Yeah, well, the fact that he's blown everyone out of the stats in terms of the overall picture, in terms of all competitions, the Europe as well is a big bonus with the amount of goals he scored to get them into that position. So, going back to your original point, because there were several points there. In terms of my understanding, Scott, in terms of, I'm led to believe, now this is only information, he's a popular character within the dressing room. Going back to your point in terms of frustration, I watch him at times and I do get frustrated. And the frustration that I do have with him is, like the other night when he throws himself to the ground, it's a habit that he needs to shake off, because that is now labelled him, he's thrown himself to the ground. Referees look for that. So that's one point. The other bit that frustrates me, Alfredo Morelos, is the selfishness in terms of when he gets a ball 30 yards, 35 yards out on his weaker foot, he tries to shoot. For me, he has to mix it up a little bit. And I used to say about Ryan Kent, you remember, take shots, and then what that does is the defenders will then come out and it allows you to probe and pick passes. I think he's selfish for that point of view, so I'd be super frustrated if I was playing the middle of the park with him. In terms of his actual goal contribution to games, you can only applaud that because he's actually done remarkable, the goals. And you've got to remember, he's in a different country. So from when he first came, I think he got about 18 goals. He's sitting in 29 at the moment, representing his country, a young guy. And he can clearly sharpen up on behavioural things, some of his petulance, because I think it's fair to say, but there's other times when I see him, and I like that skill where he's growling at oppositions. He carries it to the opposition. So there's lots of good and bad with this guy. But at the same time, you have to put into consideration, assuming you're saying about a wee championship team, for me, when you look at what he does in Europe, I think it'll be bigger than a championship team. I think it'd be disrespectful there.
I can understand Scott's frustrations with someone.
Yeah, to sing, Scott.
I can understand that Scott's frustration with Morelos' apparent inability to learn lessons, whether it's petulance, simulation, whatever. But is he worth it? Is it worth putting up with all those things? Yeah, because of the goals. I've known plenty of greeting-faced strikers in my time, and he's a greeting-faced striker. But as long as he strikes, that's the important thing. But the attitude problem, the persistent suspensions, he appears not to be learning a lesson.
Go on, Scott.
Well, you know, I've put my points forward. They weren't really about the goals he scored. I agree with you 100%, because you can't take that away from him. I'm just giving my honest opinion that I must be seen different to what I'll probably the majority of Rangers fans see. Obviously, I don't go to football, but I watch the football with my son. And, you know, my son loves him. And he could score three or four goals in the one game, and I still can't take to him. I cannot and will not ever take to him.
Does that not sound a bit strange then, Scott? Even when you say that, you're well entitled to have high standards and whatever else, but you're saying you can't take to a player who might score three or four goals in a game?
Well, I can't, because he could score three in the next game against Celtic, and it wouldn't change my opinion on him. It really wouldn't.
I think you're letting your argument down here, because if he scores three against Celtic, he'll be carried away from Ibrox in a sedan chair. So, you know, at the end of the day, if you're a striker, goals are pretty much at the top of the list. Yes, attitude and temperament and all the rest of it will be down there, further down the list, but goals, goals, goals.
Hugh, I was talking about, there is clearly things that I've mentioned that the kind of throwing his shirt to the ground and things, obviously the red cards and things, that's clearly a frustration. You can't exclude the 29 goals and the full package.
You would be lying if you said that there wasn't various areas that he had to improve on.
Without a doubt,
don't think there's any doubt about that, Scott. But I think Hugh summed it up quite nicely. Is the question not come back to, is it worth it? You obviously don't think so.
I don't think so. As I say, I don't want it to sound as if it's a personal thing against him. I wish I could like the boy on a personal level, but I can't because.
Can I just throw in something here? Off the wall, out of left field.
Okay, where's this going?
When Hughie McIlvany died, the greatest Scottish journalist of all time, I remember telling the story that Hughie was persistently late with his copy. And people who are, you know, putting the paper together would say, where is it? Why is it always this way? Where is it? And eventually one man said, listen, the genius is worth the wait. So you might have things about your personality that drive people nuts, but do you deliver? Yes. And he delivers goals. And if he scores 3 against Celtic, don't worry about it. Scott will be the only person who supports Rangers in this country who is not thrilled by the moment.
I'm interested to learn a bit more, Scott, because let me be clear, you're a Rangers fan, you're absolutely entitled to criticise him, you're entitled to not have him as a player, that's absolutely fine, but you just said it's nothing personal, but if he scores 4 goals against Celtic, I'll still never take to him. That sounds quite personal.
No, because it's not about his goal scoring ability. I know he's got the goal scoring ability, but that for me is not what a professional should be about. You can't trust him. He's an absolute liability. And as I say, looking the other night there, I really was. I was embarrassed to watch it, the amount of times he fell down. I'm surprised there's nobody been on since then. I've not been on the phone, to be honest, for the last couple of nights. I don't know if anybody's brought it up, but I was just embarrassed watching him. And I think that's something that I think Alex says it. Maybe they'll need to have a word with him to stop it because it's pretty embarrassing.
No, yeah, I don't think anyone would argue. He needs to be available more. No one would doubt that. He's only got 1 goal in his last 6 at the moment as well. So by his standards, needs to find the net a bit more often. Other players need to step up also. Thank you to Scott and Kirk and Tillock for rounding things off tonight. Quickly, you've got 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 more on the teaser. Oh my.
Let's start with the third Villa player.
Go, quick.
Initials.
A-E.
Alan Evans.
Yes, well done.
Good.
Okay.
Shout, man.
Right, you've got another 3 Liverpool ones. You've got 3 and 1 in particular. Come on. Seriously. Dalglish, Hansen.
Scottish.
I mean, as far as like Scots go, Dalglish,
Stevie Nicol,
Hansen. Okay. I can't believe you haven't got this one. Graham Souness, anyone?
Souness.
Yeah, thank you.
Jeez.
Right, 2 more.
Liverpool.
Yep. One, they both played 85. One of them played 84. The other one was an unused sub in 84. Initials, you like the initials, don't you? GG.
Graham Gillespie.
Gary Gillespie. Gary, well, Gillespie. Done. Easy one, this. JW.
John Wark.
It's not that difficult, is it? And the last one, you need to think outside the box here. Oliver Burke became the first Scot to score in La Liga since
Jordan.
No, La Liga.
Archibald. Yeah, Archibald.
Steve Archibald, 86.
Told you we'd get there, Hugh.
Barcelona. Yeah, we kind of got there. Thank you to Hugh and Alex. A bigger thank you, if you like, to you for listening, for all your calls and tweets. We're back at 2 o'clock tomorrow. Big day of football coming up, and GBX Fridays next.
One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation you deserve. When there's been foul play, talk to Thompson's.com.